You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Did you know that KBOO is streaming live on the web? Well, you do now. Just type www.kboo.fm, click on Listen Live, and you've got us. Just another example of how KBOO 90.7 FM Portland works for you. It's your community radio.
Support for this program comes from KBOO members and Fat Cupcake, with locations in Oregon City, Happy Valley, and a new location in Southeast Portland. Information at fatcupcake.com.
KBOO.
Hi, I am Consuelo. Today, November the 3rd, once upon a time, I am very glad to introduce a very young poet. His name is Matthew Urrenia. He is only 8 years old. He's in the third grader at Arden Wall Elementary in Milwaukee. And the name of his poem is I Am. Okay. Claire, is you there?
Yep.
Okay, good. So is Matthew with you? I think he is.
Hola, Consuelo.
Hola. Hola, Matthew. I am, like I said, very proud, very glad. You have a fan on me because I read your poem yesterday, this morning, and it's a beautiful poem. So please enlighten us with your voice and your writing. You are a young poet, my dear. You remind me Rimbaud, one of the most popular and beautiful poet in France. Go ahead.
Yeah. I am Matthew. By Matthew Urrenia. I am a mythologist ordinary. I wonder about illusions. I hear songs in my mind. I see the universe. I want to be a god. Well, to it. I am just like my father, Matthew. I have Mexican ancestors. I feel everything. I touch everything. I worry about being alone. I cry about being funny. I am Matthew. I understand about my life. I say everything for justice. I dream of being a Viking. I try to learn about the world.
Beautiful, my dear. I mean, it's because I am here at the radio. I shouldn't be crying, but it's so profound. And I felt during my childhood many of the feelings that you show in this wonderful poem. I will go to meet you, and we will speak a little bit of Spanish, both of us. I am very proud of you and proud of your parents. And you know that your mother is a friend of mine. So I kiss you in the cheek, if I may, and I congratulate you, all of you. Bye-bye, my dear.
Thank you, Consuelo.
Thank you. Thank you, my dear.
Thank you, Consuelo.
Gracias. A ti. Okay, so before we move on to our next interview, I want you to remind you that show your support for this wonderful program by becoming a KBOO member today. Membership dry goal, we are community founded, so we need your support to get there. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to this number 443-321. Okay, I am very pleased to introduce my colleague, because she's a writer too. Her name is Claudia Hutchinson, and she wrote a book called Memoir of Brooklyn. She is going to enlighten us today with some of the vignettes that she wrote, and we are going to interview her. I want to remind you about our phone call here. The number is 503-231-8187. I will let you know. First, I would like Claudia to read some of the vignette. Then I will ask some questions, and then you can. I will open the line for you to ask questions to her or to talk about your experience and memories. Okay. Welcome, Claudia. I am so happy to have you here. I think it's a great moment for both of us. And tell us where this idea comes from.
Well, first of all, it's an honor to be on KABU, our local community radio. The book I wrote is a set of short stories. The title is Growing Up in Brooklyn Long Ago. And essentially, it's just the silly stories I used to tell my children of what it was like in the 50s and 60s when children didn't have a lot of organized after-school activities or a lot of commitments, what the culture of living in an apartment house was like, where you had neighbors above you and below you, and racing up and down the stairs was part of your everyday play, and so on. Like young Matthew, who called in, he said that his he has Mexican ancestors. I grew up in a family where our Italian ancestors were an integral part of our life. And some of my earliest memories were of some of my mom and dad's cousins who had recently arrived from Italy. They used to come and visit. My parents were teachers, and they were very involved, as you can imagine, in helping these relatives adjust to the new life and learn English and so on. So one of my earliest memories was arriving home from kindergarten and hearing a loud laugh in a voice that I didn't recognize. The sound was coming from the kitchen. I peeked in, and when my mom saw me, she said, "Oh, come on in, darling. Come meet Cousin Angelina." And there sat a large, white-haired woman across from my mom at the kitchen table, and I noticed on the table there was an overnight bag. The woman looked at me and smiled and said, "Hello there, baby." A few minutes later, my older brother Edward entered the kitchen. Mom repeated the introduction. Edward was not as shy as Claudia around new people. He held out his hand and said, "It's nice to meet you, Cousin Angelina." Then he noticed the travel case. "Are you staying overnight?" "Oh, no, baby," Angelina laughed. She opened her case to show the children its contents, a towel, shampoo, soap, a comb. "I'm going to take a shower." Then Cousin Angelina closed the case and took it with her towards the bathroom. "How strange that someone would come visit and take a shower," Edward whispered to Claudia. When Mom overheard the whisper, she explained that Angelina's apartment was a cold water flat. To bathe, Angelina had to heat water in a cooking pot on the stove and then add it to the deep kitchen sink. So taking a hot shower once in a while was a real treat. So Angelina made many such visits to our apartment. And after her shower and after we had milk and cookies, Mom would excuse the children to go play in their rooms. "Cousin Cucino Alfredo, Cucino Alfredo." All the way from the bedroom, even with the door closed, the children could overhear Angelina's excited voice announcing that their dad had just come home. Angelina was always so happy to see her cousin Alfredo. Soon the children can hear the voices of the three adults speaking in Italian. It sounded like a small choir singing. When it was time to leave, for Angelina to leave, Mom called the children to come out of their rooms. While Angelina was in the bathroom packing up her travel case, Mom explained why Cousin Alfredo was so special to her. "When Angelina arrived from Italy, your dad helped her file a petition for citizenship and to sign up for English classes. He helped her study for the citizen's test." Dad added, "Today these tests are written, just like the tests you take at school. But back then, Angelina had to go to a courtroom where a judge asked her the questions in person." "Did being in front of the judge make her nervous?" asked Edward. "Very much so," Dad answered.
Yes, it's a very interesting to see the process of immigration and all the group from Europe that came to this country, the Italian, the Irish, and many others. And as an immigrant myself, I can relate to some of the stories. So I would like to ask you, Claudia, if I may, why did you decide to write these stories and vignette?
Okay, well, as I said, my children grew up hearing some of these stories, and it was early in the pandemic when life was looking a little more tenuous. And I thought, you know, if I don't record these stories, it's not going to happen. So I quickly wrote them. It took me about a year. I wrote a story a month. I sent them to my kids to make comments, and my husband was very helpful and supportive. I had an excellent editor, my son, Dr. Jacob Hutchison, who has a degree in theater, so he certainly has a sense of how to tell a good story, and he held my feet to the fire. So I just wanted something put together to pass on to the grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I have great nieces and nephews, and I just wanted them to have a sense of what our family was like, how we grew up.
I'm sorry. I think this is exactly the meaning of this program, to give the your stories and history from back, your grandparents, your parents, yourself, to your family. And so this way you can give the information, give the knowledge, give the experience, you transmit that and you share. And this is exactly what was my idea when I present this program to Ender and Public Affairs. I think it's very important that we use our experience, our past, even when sometimes it's very painful, to teach other people how we have been confronted adversity. And to be an immigrant at those years, after what happened to Angelina, that she has to go to another place to take a shower. It's unbelievable now to think that some people still are in that situation. That give me a lot of pain. But in some way, we have been advances. We were talking about that. Tell me, you decide to write the story mainly because you wanted to share to other people. Do you have did you participate in a award, in a program? Where the people can read this story?
Mm-hmm, yes. Well, I decided to self-publish this book because I wanted to get it out there, and I didn't feel like I had the time or the energy to look for a publisher. Also, at my age, publishers really want younger writers that have a lot of future ahead of them. I knew this would be a one-time book. So I self-published it. It's available in several places. I also entered it in a competition through the Multnomah County Library, and it was accepted, so it's available there as an e-book, electronic book, but it's also available hard copy at Broadway Books, right here in Portland, Northeast Broadway, and Belmont Books on Southeast Belmont. As well, if people want to order it, you just put the whole title in the search engine, you'll find it, Growing Up in Brooklyn Long Ago. I discovered there's several pieces entitled Growing Up in Brooklyn. So you've got to get that long ago in.
Nice, yeah. Nice. So that's mean that some other people, other writers have had the same idea, and this is good. Talking now more about what does it mean to write. I am always fascinated by the work of writer, included myself. And I told somebody once, I am a writer who doesn't write right now. because it happened that I had what we call the dry period. This last 14 years has been a very dry period for many reasons. And so I would like to know, Claudia, why are you using the third person? Because how I explained the week before the premiere, the autobiography usually use the first pronoun. And memoir is allowed to use the third as you use in your story. You are talking about Claudia. You are not talking about I did, I made. Why did you do that?
Excellent question. I did that because I've seen too many writers, especially older women, who have the attitude that, you know, I just want to write a little something to leave for my family. And they don't have a concept that their stories, their precious moments that they've captured, might be of interest to a larger audience. And so I thought the third person worked better for, families, children, in the general public who might pick up the book. I wanted them to be more of like children's stories and stories that families can enjoy together and discuss. Each story, or most of the stories, have a little moral or a message embedded in them, and I think it's a good springboard for families to talk about, you know, what are our values?
And another reading of that answer, I think that women, we are always shy about using the first pronoun. It's very hard because we haven't had a voice for so many centuries. And the one women writer that they had, they have to name her themselves as with men names.
Yeah, George,
so,
Eliot.
Yes, so it's hard to use a star story saying, I am Consuelo, or I am a native of Chile, and then continue with the story. And I would like also to know, before we open the line for our listener, was the writing of these stories a kind of healing process for you?
That's a good question. Other things I've written were healing processes, memoirs I wrote of people long gone. This one, I think it was not so much healing as reinforcing. Every time I wrote a story, every time I reviewed it, I reflected how fortunate I was to grow up in such an intact family, surrounded by loving relatives, neighbors. I couldn't walk down the street in my neighborhood without a neighbor noticing me and saying hi. When I smoked my first cigarette, and my mother knew about it before I even got home because a neighbor had seen me and called.
she was gossiping about indiscretion. Indiscretion.
Exactly.
I think this is one of the biggest loss in our society right now, the loss of the neighborhood, the loss of the community. And children are most of the time alone, and they don't have that cohesive family like you express yourself. And like I had also in Chile, I have a Italian inherited from my mother's side. And it's true, we used to receive my uncle and aunt every Sunday, and my cousin. And that was part of who we were and we are. And now it's a kind of different situation because distance is one of them, and COVID, of course, was another. So I will open the line to 503-231-8187. So we will be happy, very happy to listen your question, comment, whatever you want to share with us today. If you want to ask question to Claudia, please do it. She is all ready for your question. Do we have? Okay, so I will say again, another question is, what is the frame time? How long it took you to write this book?
Well, these stories were part of me, so I didn't have to really create them or think of them. But it probably took a year. There's 10, 11 stories. I probably wrote one a month. I maybe wrote 15 stories. And then, as you know, Consuelo writing, there's a lot of editing and cutting out and throwing out and getting rid of the stories that just didn't seem to be going anywhere. So overall, a year. I mean, I didn't work on it full time. I worked on it as a retired person works on things here and there.
Yeah, but also, what is the frame time of the story?
I misunderstood.
Both.
Oh, you answer okay, one the first. Story is my earliest memories from age 5 till early adolescence. So I grew up in the 50s, so it's the 50s into the early 60s.
Yeah, so it's a long period.
Yeah.
I will remind you to support our station and support this program. And you can call us, the lines are open, and you can ask questions to Claudia or to me. We will be very happy to do that. And when you become a membership, we can, this way you can support our program and the station, and you go to kbu.fm/give or text to kibu to this number 44321, and we will be very glad to have your donation and collaboration with this wonderful station that has given us the opportunity to have Claudia and little Matthew. Hi.
Hi.
This is
Isabel.
Yeah.
I'm a friend, personal friend of Claudia, but I love her book.
Yeah.
Because I have grandparents who grew up in Brooklyn, so we visited all the time. But what I love about her stories is that they are such a gentle way of explaining differences. And her example of a friend coming and seeing that they did something different, it was such a wonderful way to talk to children about family differences and to take them through experiences like losing a pet. It's just such a gentle, friendly book. I just love it. And my grandchildren love it. You know, I read it to them, and they chose it over many other books. So I just wanted to say what a great book it is.
I share that feeling completely for what I have read, and I haven't read the whole book. And also because it's her personality, don't you think?
Totally.
Her writing show her kindness and generosity and intelligence because she is all of that, and we are very proud. Do you have a question for her?
I don't really. I just wanted to put in a
to support
because I like it so much.
Thank you, Isabel.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. You're with
welcome,
that wonderful
Claudia.
Name, nothing can be wrong with you either.
Okay.
Yeah,
take
bye
care.
Bye.
Bye bye.
We have another call. Who is there?
Hello, bye babe.
My babe.
Oh, my name is Christine. I'm calling from Seattle.
Hello. Oh, hello, you are the baby. Christine. Wonderful Christine. You are her
daughter,
one of her daughter. Okay.
Yeah, so I am biased about this book. That's true.
That is very nice that you are biased. I think I love it because you should be biased. And you should admire her the way we do.
I do, and I have something to say. I have a comment and then I have a question.
Okay. Go ahead.
So what I wanted to say, so I am Claudia's daughter, and I'm, you know, I turned 40 a couple years ago, and I had some idea as I approached 40 that if I was going to do anything important in my life, I would have already done it. Like, you know, I had my 20s, I had my 30s. I also love writing. I got that from my mom. So if I was going to write a book, I should have done it by now. And it was it opened so many possibilities for me to watch my mom write this book and take such pride in it. I'm so proud of the book, but she just is such an inspiration and reminded me that God willing, we have long lives and we can do anything at any point in our lives. So I wanted to say thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Christine. Never too old is my motto. And I want to add, I mentioned your brother who did the editing, but our daughter, Christine, is a psychologist. It's Dr. Christine, and she was very helpful, especially with two of the stories that dealt with sensitive issues. One dealt with a very traumatic car accident, and she was helpful in just advising on how to phrase things, what would be too scary, what would be appropriate to say about those incidents.
Okay, Christine, do you have your question?
Yeah, thanks, Mom. My question is, what has been one of your favorite bits of feedback about the book from your readers?
I think it's your call and Isabel's call. No, my favorite is that, you know, I got some little thank you notes from some great cousins' children, so some great cousins, little handwritten thank you notes. But some of the parents saying, you know, they really treasure it, and those that have babies, how much they look forward to reading it down the road when the kids are old enough. So that was my purpose in doing it, is to pass on family stories.
Yeah, and also one way to, for people that they haven't had that experience, to get to know how was at that time to live in Brooklyn and to be an immigrant from Italy. I think the sociological aspect of these stories are very important because it's one way you can have a picture about what life was at that time. What I don't have through the story I have and through the Scorsese's movie, I can see how hard it was to be an immigrant, an Italian immigrant during that time. We appreciate Christina. We know that you love her, and she adores you. So you are
absolutely.
Thank you for having me on. Yes, of course. We are very happy, and she's blooming here. I hope you, if you want to write a book, and I think I encourage you to do it. Perhaps you can participate another time in this program with a small
book, with a small vignette.
So this way you start writing the book. That will help you as an exercise, too.
Maybe I'll start it tomorrow.
Very good. A good glass of wine and a good pen, and that's it. You don't need anything else. An Italian wine. No Chilean. Italian wine. Okay, Christina. Okay. Thank you very much. Arrivederci. Arrivederci, cara. Alla prossima. Hello? Hello? Hello, hello? No. Okay. Another question for you, my dear. Your grandfather came to America during the fascist time in Italy. That was the time of Mussolini.
That's right.
So we are in the Second World War. And so he came after the war finished or within the war? How was it?
But you know, that I'm not clear exactly when he came. He was a pharmacist in a small town outside of Naples. He also served as the mayor of that town for one time. And what my mother explained to us was that, you know, he came after the fascists took control of the government. We were children. We said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, the fascists took away people's rights, their right to express their opinions. He also tried to close the borders to prevent outsiders from entering Italy. That grandpa lived to 101 years old, and his obituary, which I have a copy of, he died in the Bronx, it quoted him as saying that the fascists would be the ruination of Italy and they would set it back 100 years.
He was absolutely right.
He was a visionary.
Very visionary, and it was right, because I think Italy after that went behind, and still is behind within Europe. Not cultural, because that is their forte, but in social issue and other issue. What about writing? Do you have a routine? Are you writing right now?
No. I write on and off in spurts. I did some writing when I was employed. I wrote small articles and related to my work. But in retirement, most of my writing has been kind of journal entries, memoirs. I wrote a couple of memoirs to honor people long past. In particular, my first husband died very young. And I had always wanted to write something to capture those memories. And in the early years, it was just too painful. And then I was so busy with work. So I think early in retirement, I wrote Remembering Doug, just not published, just for the family. Because I think it was Alexander McCall Smith who wrote, who is it who no one records the lives of ordinary men? And I didn't want my first husband's life to be unrecorded. So when you asked me, Consuelo, if writing these stories was healing, not so much, but writing that memoir of that first husband was very healing. Even though I had long been remarried, happily remarried with a wonderful, supportive husband, there was still some residual pain that I didn't know was there until I did the writing.
I think I was exactly thinking exactly the same, that was the period, one of the period where you use the tool that word gave us to heal the memories and that time of your life. It takes so long to be able to express how hard it is to lose somebody that we love. I know that for sure, and many people, I am not the only one, or both, and I think this is what word do. I mean, in a magical way, they bring those memories, event that we haven't even think for years, and suddenly come to our mind, mm-hmm. and they're there on the paper, and it's beautiful to put them on writing. This is what I felt mm-hmm. during my first program, because I could express some of my personal feeling that It was very hard for the reason of the pain, but also the censorship. We all have a certain amount of censorship. And do you consider yourself a writer?
Yes and no. Can I comment on what you said?
Yes, about sure.
Yeah, words are really powerful. Somewhere in Macbeth,
yes,
after a death, there's a statement that says something to the effect of, give sorrow words. The grief that, yes, does not speak binds up the overwrought heart and bids it break.
Yeah, what can we say after that? I mean, he said it all, and yeah, we are kind of... So do you have a next project?
I really don't. I'm enjoying this stage of life. My husband and I are in our 70s. We're doing a lot of traveling. We do, one of my favorite activities is family visits. We have grandchildren. Most are young adults. One's an adolescent. One's a 10-year-old. So we spend a lot of time with them when they visit, or planning trips with them. I'm enjoying just having the time to sit and read uninterrupted, going for walks and that kind of thing. So no project is percolating, but I'm sure there'll be something down the road.
Yeah, because you travel a lot, often, mm-hmm, and you have some texts that I have read about your experience in Costa Rica.
Oh,
so
right.
I think that will be a next project for you, to tell that stories, and especially from the perspective that is a completely different culture, different language, obviously, and you were there long enough to appreciate, to learn from that culture and to bring to that culture yourself. And that, I think, is wonderful. And I will encourage you to go that way in the next project. I want to know also, have you talked to your grandson, Dominic, about your life in Brooklyn?
Dominic was one of my early critics. Before I showed anyone a couple of the stories, I sent them to him. And he read them. He was a mature reader, so he was maybe only 8 years old then at that time. He read them, and of course, not that an 8-year-old is going to critique grandma's writing, but, you know, I just wanted to hear from him, from his mom, our daughter, Nicole, that, you know, the story seemed to fly with that age group. So, yeah, so he has the book. All the children and grandchildren have the book, and I think he's read most of the stories.
He's a
delightful child.
Yes, he is.
I met him,
yes, and he is, and very bright. Mm-hmm. And I am sure that your example is going to have some consequence on him, mm-hmm, positive consequence.
Yes, do you want another vignette about Dominic?
Yes.
So Dominic was visiting last winter, and there had been a sudden death in the family on the other side of his family. So he said to me, Grandma, what causes heart attacks? Can children have heart attacks? I said, you know, Dominic, it sounds like you're worried about a lot of things, and mostly our lives are wonderful. You know, sad things happen once in a while. He said, well, I know Grandpa had something sad. He had a brother that died young, but Grandma, did you ever have something sad? So I said, Dominic, did you know before I met Grandpa, I was married before, and that husband died very young? Dominic said, no, I didn't know that. What was his name? Doug. Grandma, which husband did you like better, Grandpa or Doug?
He's inquisitive. We know that. He's inquisitive and intelligent. He wanted to put you in a very difficult situation.
Oh, I gave a diplomatic answer.
Of course, you are diplomatic. So you didn't. Of course, I am sure that you. You didn't go directly like I would have.
Right.
No, that's for sure. Okay.
Right.
So I would like now to. I am still hoping that we will have another calls and some question for Claudia and myself, but at the same time, I want to introduce you a poet from Spain that I like very much. He is a singer also. He writes his own music most of the time and his word. And his name is Joan Manuel Serrat. He is from Spain, Barcelona, and he wrote this wonderful, wonderful song called Lucia that I have been listening every single day for every single day, the the music and the lyric, and I love it very much. In any case, I will give you my phone number, 503-231-8187. Here we are, waiting for your call, and we will be glad to have a new one. In the meantime, I want to read two sentences from this song called Lucia. You can look it in Google. Perhaps you don't know John Montserrat, and I went to one of his concerts in Chile, in Viña del Mar, because I wanted to see him in person, because I admire his writing, especially profoundly. And he said in English, "Nothing is more beautiful than what I have never had. Nada es más bello que lo que nunca he tenido." And then he added, "Nothing is more loved than what I lost. Nada es más amado que lo que perdí." I'm giving you these two sentences because I think the idea is to write about your experience. So you can pick one of these sentences and you can start your own story. Nothing is more beautiful than what I have never had. I feel sometimes there are so many things that, and so many experiences that we have never had. For example, I have never had a child. And sometimes during those dark days of winter, I wonder what would have happened. And that is a beautiful story in itself. And do we have? Okay, here we are. Hello. Hola.
Hola.
Hola. ¿Quién habla?
My name is Derek from Portland.
Hi, Derek. Nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you. And I have a question for Claudia.
Yes.
First of all, if I could just get some information about the book, what the title is and so forth. And then secondly, as I was listening to your conversation earlier, you were mentioning a lot of it has to do with community and neighborhoods and how much has changed since the time that the book deals with. And I was wondering if you had any advice for how we might get that back?
Good question.
Well, the first question is easier to deal with. The title of the book is Growing Up in Brooklyn Long Ago. The author is Claudia Malazzo Hutchison, Hutchison. So you can either put Claudia Hutchison or the whole title in your search engine. And it's available locally at Belmont Books and Broadway Books, and by ebook at Multnomah County Library. Your second question is pretty complicated. How can we get that back? I think individually, as adults, as families, we can make the effort to connect with our neighbors. My husband and I spend a lot of time, when the weather allows, just sitting on our front porch. You know, I think over the last few decades, the emphasis has become the back porch, privacy and backyard parties and so on. But when you have front porches or front stairs that you can sit on and talk to people as they go by and watch the kids go by on their scooters, that's a step towards recapturing that sense of community, that somebody's watching, somebody cares. Of course, there are exceptions, but when I grew up in the 50s and 60s, a family, in general, could get by on one salary and have a parent home, at least when children were very young. I'm not saying that's good, that's bad, we should go back to that, but it's just the way it was. We've created a society where it takes two paychecks to support one family, And that's when you have latchkey children or the need for organized sports. I think kids need time just to play and make up their own fun and not be directed by adults so much. They get enough of that 9 to 3 in school.
Yeah, if I may say my opinion, it's because I grew up in Chile, in Santiago, and it was the same kind of setting even. We were very far away, and my brothers played soccer on the street. I was biking around the block, and I didn't feel any danger, any my parents trust that it was okay. How we recuperate that sense of security, safety, is within the community. I think, like Claudia is telling you, to get in touch with our neighbor, to get in touch with the people at the school where children are going, to get in touch with your church, to get in touch, to bring your friend home, to share that nice dinner, Italian, to express with your body how much you care for people. So when you give a hug, you really give a hug, that you can feel that connection body with body and that expression of love. I think friendship is the most important of the all the ramification of love. And we need to keep expressing ourselves to the people we love. It's not enough to say, oh, I love you. No, you show. And one way to show is time and attention. This is my...
Well, that is wonderful. It really, I think, takes someone with all of those years of experience that you two clearly have to show us how we need to relearn what it means to not only be a community, but to be a friend as well.
Yes,
so
yes, that is important.
Answered my question. Excellently. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome to call anytime.
Thank you, Derek.
I love your voice, by the way.
thank you. Growing up in Brooklyn long ago.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you. Great. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
So I was reading this wonderful poem. Okay. Hi.
Hey. My name is Tangent. I was curious. One, before I forget, there is another book about Brooklyn, and it might not be the first, but it's called A Tree Grows in Brooklyn.
No comparison, my dear.
Century. Okay. Yeah. Wonderful book. So I wanted to mention, you mentioned community, loss of, and okay, so I have a client. She's in her 90s. She's taught school. She was born here, but her parents came from Croatia. And during the 90s, because of the war there, they helped a lot of their relatives move here. And after they were here 5 or 6 months or so, they say, well, how do you like the neighborhood? And they go, well, it's great, but where are the neighbors?
Oh.
And she's like, yeah, because like in the old country, anytime somebody comes home, you meet, how are your children? How are your grandparents? How are you? You have to go down the whole litany, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It might seem boring, but my God, I miss it.
Yeah. I learned.
Here's another. Sorry. Go ahead.
I learned that living in Costa Rica, that you don't start any conversation, even if you go to see your attorney, you don't jump into the business without saying, ¿Cómo está la abuela? How's your grandma? And did your aunt get over her cold? And when is so-and-so graduating? It's all, nothing happens without a relationship.
I agree, and that is what is important, to get to know people. Where I work, I start conversation, and sometimes people are surprised. And one young student the other day said, I am surprised that you are interested in me, because nobody asked me anything. And I said, I am not making conversation. I really want to know who you are in 10 minutes that we have this interaction. Yes?
Well, just as an update, well, backdate, I guess, because I moved, my family went to this place called Reston, Virginia. It was a planned community, a model. It was supposed to be utopia, but then they let the people move in. I mean, it was really beautiful. But one other thing, they sent out this pamphlet outside of Washington, D.C. There were Columbia, Maryland. It wasn't like Levittown. It was a whole new thing. Okay. And well designed. But anyway, what I'm getting at is they had a little book, Welcome to Ruston, and they encouraged people to say hi to people they didn't know. And I did this, and you'll get some varied response, but mostly it was positive. But then I moved back here and back there like 10 years later, but I continued doing this thing, but I got almost zero response.
Yeah, that was exactly, sorry that interrupt because the time is passing.
Please,
I have the same experience when I came here the first time to Oregon, and I complained to my husband, who was an American, and I said, what is going on here with the social skill? Why people don't answer? Why people don't look at you in the eyes? What is going on? And he said, we are pioneer, Consuelo. This is the reason. We are accustomed to be alone. Okay.
Well, can I just share a little bit of my poem? Because you mentioned just the generational change. And I wrote this one day, watching children walk home with these heavy backpacks. And it really wasn't a steep hill or anything. But it starts, I don't remember the title, I won't do the whole thing, but watching children walk uphill, wondering if they're children still, to do as was our bidding. My God, who am I kidding? Although we knew where lied the demilitarized zone, but not the latest flavor of phone. Although our parents might soon get divorced, we didn't have to save the rainforest. And then it goes on, but it goes like, you see what I'm driving at, global warming, not cat in the hat. It's not going to be cleaned up just like that.
Yeah.
So, but you know, that's it. We had crab apple fight. We watched television probably too much, and I laugh at some of the stuff that was thrown at us. But
people
there was much free and outside time, you know, just you made games up. You know, my grandfather, just because he grew up in, I think it was Brooklyn, but anyway, New York.
Okay.
Back in the
I will have to interrupt.
Pinkball. They take a can,
yes,
put it on a railway track, let it run over. Okay.
Yeah. No. Do we have another call? Yes. In the meantime, okay. Go ahead. Hi.
Consuelo, this is Norma.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Program.
Very nice, isn't it? She is adding a lot of thought and philosophy to the program. I am so pleased that I invite her. So what do you want to share with us today?
Well, pleased to listen to you and to those that call in about their past and what they've experienced in life, because it inspires me to think back and over the years, because when you mentioned that you were looking at, you know, our youth, and I've never written anything that would be saleable, just maybe a diary when I was a teenager. But I was thinking about how much I love the outdoors. And the reason is that I grew up in a beautiful place in northeastern New Mexico, close to the Rocky Mountains. And my dad loved to fish on streams and on lakes. And so every weekend we would go somewhere and camp out for the weekend. I had two brothers, and we would often play rather than fish. And then my dad tried to teach me to fish with a fly rod, and I caught the trees behind me rather than landing in the water and getting the fish to bite. So then I continued to play and explore, and that has carried me through, you know, to today, when I like to ski and hike, and I understand myself better by thinking back on that and figuring out, oh, I was exposed to that really early in life. And so
I think
it just makes me smile.
Yes, I think it's a beautiful memory. And also that show one more time the impact of our parents have in our life when there are good parents, because there is a lot of bad parents too. And we know that, don't we?
And, yeah, we do.
Yes. And I couldn't believe, for a year I thought that there were no bad parents, but then I learned that there are many bad parents. And in our case, we have this wonderful parent who provide the right environment for us to grow up safely and to give us the knowledge of intellectual art or nature that is almost the same. And it's beautiful that you kept doing what you learned early in life. And that has a big impact on you, because as an entrepreneur who works with forestry, I mean, is everything was already in you, very deep. And that is the reason, yes, because you have been very successful, my dear. Yes, you are. Yes. You are.
Well, and and sometimes we don't appreciate what our parents do at the time when we're young, because my father, professor in history of the Southwest. Yes. And so we had to visit almost every Indian pueblo in New Mexico, and my goodness, I found them sort of interesting, but it wasn't the highlight of my my career, except for going for a drive and seeing countryside. And now I've gone back a number of times to visit, and I really appreciate what he showed me way back then. And I go back to some of them, and I really appreciate, you know, what created those people and what they created, and how wonderful it is to think of how they responded to nature and even determined, you know, what hour of the day it was by building.
I agree, and I am very pleased that you mentioned that, because those native people are very close to our heart here at KBOO. And so we honor today our parent, our past. Today is my parent anniversary, wedding anniversary. And I am so pleased that we were talking about our childhood. I do appreciate, and I hope I will have you next program, because you are my fan and I want you here, okay?
Well, I love being your friend, but I also love learning from you.
Okay, thank you, my dear. I appreciate learning from you too.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I would like to mention the next program is going to be November 17. I think we are going to talk perhaps about Pablo Neruda, his autobiography called I Confess That I Live. And I would like to mention the song, and we are all set. We had a wonderful program. Claudia, I do appreciate your input and nice stories and comments.
Thank you.
Also, all our people who are calling. And I encourage you one more time. I know it takes time. I am sorry to the person that I have to cut the conversation, but the time was running, and it's not that we are in the TV station, but we want to give as much opportunity to people to talk to Claudia and to talk about themselves and what is in their mind and what kind of memory are bringing to our life together today and together, because the experience of other people also have an impact in our life. We learn from them, and that is a reason, the main reason why autobiography is so important. We need to write. We need to publish. Even self-publishing, it's okay. Even if you give only to your close family, that is a wonderful gift. My father did, Fred did, his father did, and my friend also he did. So I am doing myself, and with what I just published in the same place where Claudia did. And it was very hard, because they were some personal thing, experience, an issue that I didn't want to talk about it, but I needed to do it to finish with that time in my life. And now we are into another project, and we will see how it comes. So I think it's important. I would like to finish with the other sentence that I mentioned. Nothing is more loved than what I lost. Nada es más amado que lo que perdí. This is the word by Joan Manuel Serrat in the song called Lucia. I leave you with these two sentences that you can use for writing a paragraph about your experience. One is what is talking about what we never had, and the other is talking about what we have lost. Who hasn't lost something in our life? We all lose every day, but we gain every day too. I will be happy to have you back on the 17th, and we will try to bring you a little bit of joy, friendship, share experience, and to make our life nicer and joyful in this fall and winter beginning winter. And we leave you with Frank Sinatra. It was a very good year. Bye-bye. Thank you very much. I do appreciate, and you made my life grateful and happily. Consuelo.
When I was 17, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for small town girls and soft summer nights. We'd hide from the lights on the village green. When I was 17, when I was 21, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for city girls who lived up the stair with all that perfumed hair. And it came undone when I was 21. When I was 35, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for blue-blooded girls of independent means. We'd ride in limousines. Their chauffeurs would drive when I was 35. But now the days are short. I'm in the autumn of the year. And now I think of my life as vintage wine from fine older cakes. From the brim to the dregs, it poured sweet and clear. It was a very good year.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, also heard at translator K220HR Hood River at 91.9 FM, and translator K282BH in Philomath at 104.3 FM. And we're streaming at the top of our line.
Are you a fan of early rock and roll, doo-wop, rhythm and blues, and 70s rock? If so, The Roots of Rock and Roll is the show for you, and KBOO Portland is the place to be Friday afternoons at 3. Dale Farr will give you a history lesson from the birth of rock and roll through the 50s and 60s. And Ray Bodwell will mine the 60s and 70s for the deep cuts, hidden gems, and variety that you won't hear on generic classic rock stations. So tune in to The Roots of Rock and Roll, Fridays at 3 p.m.